Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 19th day of July, 2023. I'm thrilled to have back as a returning guest someone to discuss a very important topic, a topic that has affected much of modern evangelicalism. And his name is Matt Kennitzer, senior pastor at St. John's Reformed Church of Friedensburg, Pennsylvania, and a board member of the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. We're addressing the theme, The Gospel at War with Moralism, and we're also going to be announcing the upcoming 2023 Future of Christendom Conference and Debate featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Matt Kennitzer.
Hey, Chris. It's good to be back with you.
It's a thrill to have you back. And tell our listeners about St. John's Reformed Church of Friedensburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, St. John's Reformed Church, it's an independent Reformed Church. In the leadership, we would be convicted on, we would land on the 1689 London Baptist Confession. And it has been rescued out of the United Church of Christ. And that happened about 2006. I came here about 5 years ago. And that kind of brings us into the topic of the gospel at war with moralism, because that's really what I walked into. So over the last 5 years, God has done an amazing work, very gracious and merciful to us, bringing the gospel to bear upon people who have largely been in the dark and lost in a moralistic religion that is not Christian at all.
By the way, have you met my friends, Pastor Micah Klaus and Pastor Ed Boyle, who have congregations where they pastor? Michael Klaus is actually technically still in the United Church of Christ, but is moving forward to lead that congregation out from that denomination. And Pastor Ed Boyle pastors a congregation that already left the United Church of Christ before he received a call to pastor there. Have you met these two brothers?
Yeah, no, I have not. I think you might have had both of them on.
Yes.
And I caught that because that was right around, that was about this same topic, and that's what really sparked me to connect with you. So,
yeah, and by the way, for anybody listening who wants to listen at some point to that interview that I just mentioned, featuring Pastor Micah Klaus and Pastor Ed Boyle on the theme, Is There Hope for the United Church of Christ? Just go to ironsharpensironradio.com and type in Klaus, C-L-O-U-S-E, into the search engine. Pastor Micah Klaus is the only person I've ever interviewed on that on the program, so that will be the only link that comes up. So I hope that you take advantage of that later on. If anybody wants to find out more about St. John's Reformed Church in Friedensburg, Pennsylvania, whether you live near there or in that town, or if you're traveling through on vacation, or if you know folks, you have family, friends, and loved ones who live in or near Friedensburg. The website is sjrcpa.org. sjrcpa.org, which stands for St. John's Reformed Church, Pennsylvania. sjrcpa.org. And I'm also very excited, as you know, to be a part of the orchestration of an upcoming conference and debate being conducted by the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, the board of which you are on the membership of. I don't even know if that was grammatically correct, what I just said. But I'm so excited. I was so thrilled that Pastor Joel Saint reached out to me and said, we want to get James White out for our next conference in September, September 15th, 16th, and a worship service on the 17th in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, more specifically Mannheim, Pennsylvania. And he said, please, could you do whatever you can do to get James White to agree to speak at this conference and possibly even conduct a debate? Well, the conference is a done deal. We have 100% confirmation from Dr. James R. White that he will be the keynote speaker at this conference on the theme, The Gospel at War. And we are still working to finalize a debate that Dr. White will be having. We thought that we had a debate finalized, but it turned out that due to health issues of the debater that agreed to participate to be Dr. White's opponent in a debate, he had to reluctantly bow out. So we're back to the drawing board, and we do believe that we are right at the precipice of getting 100% finalized confirmation from another debater, and we will keep you updated on that. Tell us about the Future of Christendom conference, Pastor Kennitzer.
Yeah, so we really try to are developing conferences that really speak to the cultural issues that are going on all swirling all around us, and bringing the biblical worldview to bear upon them. And what's really great about the organization that Joel has been spearheading for years is that they are tackling topics like corporate welfare, taxation, all of these things that we are dealing with on a day-to-day basis, and yet many Christians are really struggling of how to even think through those issues, let alone walk through them. And so that the Mars Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society is really passionate about bringing that worldview to bear upon the culture and what we're dealing with. So this is a unique conference in that that's a focus, and so there's going to be many speakers on many different topics, all swirling around the gospel at war with, and then a certain topic, and we are doing expositions is what we're calling them, coining kind of that phrase. And it's about an 18 to 20 minute exposition on an issue in the culture and how the Bible speaks into that issue, how God has revealed his word to inform us of how to live wisely and not foolishly for the glory of Christ and all of culture for all of life. And so that's really it's going to be a very, very unique conference. Very practical, very theological, and the connection in those two are going to be great. And it's going to be awesome to just highlight the exclamation mark with James White being here. He was here the past fall with your event, and he came up to our church here. And so it's going to be good to just build that relationship even more this fall. So,
amen. Well, if anybody wants more details on the 2023 Future of Christendom Conference and Debate featuring Dr. James R. White, which will be held September 15th and 16th with a worship service on September 17th at Spooky Nook Sports and Events, which, in spite of its name, is a very breathtakingly beautiful facility where Doug Mastriano, when he was a candidate for governor of Pennsylvania, held one of his major campaign events. And if you want more details on that, go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org. You can also go to midatlanticreformation.org, midatlanticreformation.org, and register as early as you can, because the earlier you register, the less expensive the registration fee will be. And we are now entering into our very provocative theme, the gospel at war with moralism. Can you please define moralism?
Moralism is basically you are confronted with the question, how do I get into heaven? How am I accepted by the triune God? How am I gaining salvation? How do I retain that? And the answer with moralism is be a good person and do good things. Simple as that.
Which is probably what the vast majority of humans who are not regenerate, not born again, think.
Yeah.
Those that actually believe in heaven.
Right. And a large amount of, unfortunately, the quote unquote Christian community. And that's really what I walked into, and not knowing what I was going to walk into, is a very moralistic tradition that was just entrenched in the answer, be a good person, do good things. That's how I'm accepted by God.
Now, I'm assuming what you mean by the Christian community is the professing Christian community.
Yep. Exactly. Yep.
So yep. Tell us how you came to stumble upon this unfortunate discovery.
Yeah, so my wife and at the time two girls and I were living out in Oregon. I had grown up there for a good majority of my life. I was going through my MDiv program, and I was getting done the Christmas before June 2018. And so I started during that Christmas time, I started looking around at open churches all across the country, just kind of putting feelers out of what the possibilities could be, and really keeping it wide open to where God may be leading us. And this kind of came in with the St. John's Reformed Church. I got a Skype interview, so did the interview. They voted unanimously to bring us out here. So we came out for a visit in March 2018, spent some time here, preached, and preached a very Calvinistic, Reformed, clear presentation of the gospel, the sovereignty of God. And so they voted 82-1 to extend the call to us, to me as their pastor. We went home, went on a camping trip, prayed about it, talked about it, and ended up coming out here June 2018. And during that visit, I had some conversations with some people, especially some of the leadership, and hearing about how they had come out of the UCC, the United Church of Christ, in 2006. And it was over the homosexuality issue, which was, I'm glad that they did that. And I was, during conversations, I asked them, what is Reformed? What is Reformed theology? And no one could really give me an answer. So I knew I had some things that I had to address. There was also women in leadership at the time, and during the Skype interview, I told them that we would need to address that. And so I knew some things that needed to be done. I knew the church was kind of languishing, kind of falling into more of just a lot of what the churches are going through here, a majority of just decline in a big way. And so I really didn't fully know what I was walking into until I started getting into ministry, getting into doing Bible studies and preaching the gospel. And I got opposition over and over and over again. And so that was a lot of a lot of tension pretty much right away with this moralistic religion being confronted with the gospel of God's free grace, that it's Christ alone. So that kind of propelled me into what happened next.
Yes, a very similar story from Pastor Ed Boyle of the church, which is now Trinity Christian Church of New Bloomfield, Pennsylvania. He had on his hands, when he accepted the call to be a pastor of this church, which had already left the UCC, you have an older group of people who are extremely uncomfortable and even repulsed by the leftist extremes that have taken over most of the mainline denominations. And although they recoiled with disgust over the homosexual issues and the transgender issues and perhaps the abortion issues, or should I say infanticide, you had people that were, just as you described and defined earlier, moralists who were unregenerate. I'm not saying all of them were in that category in the congregation, but he was facing that dilemma of now pastoring a flock that included unregenerate people who just had a more traditional and moral understanding of social issues.
Yeah, and it was interesting, that kind of dynamic where, you know, it was a great thing that they broke away from the UCC over that issue, but they still had nothing underneath it. And I went, what was interesting is during some of the time of being here, I actually preached a sermon against the UCC and against, and my preparation, because I was learning more and more just about the history of it, where these people were coming from, the heavy tradition and the moralism that they were entrenched in. And I went through all of the confirmation that the UCC used, and I even traced it back years, and I got different editions of the confirmation material. And I went through it, and they had no gospel at all. They denied it was like this kind of modalistic view of Christ and the Trinity. The definitions of baptism really were like a generational baptism. The salvation was basically follow Jesus as the example, do the best that you can. He kind of just showed the way. We're all on this type of journey, and so we're going to do the best that we can. You know, he's kind of just cheering you on, hoping that you'll tip your scales in your favor. So going through that confirmation material, I was astounded how there was no gospel at all. And so that was, you know, the gospel wasn't underneath the conviction to break away from the UCC on the homosexuality issue. There's nothing there. And that makes complete sense when you understand the history of these mainline liberal denominations who have been just damaged and devastated by this moralistic religion.
Yes, this is a reminder to evangelicals because even many conservative evangelicals feel so frightened about the left's increase in their influence and domination in our culture, not only here in the United States, but globally. They are so terrified of what awaits us in our future. We could be just as Christians of old. We could be one day being imprisoned for our views. Who knows the way the insanity is really rapidly increasing and rapidly charging toward us like a snowball that began rolling down a mountain and has become this giant boulder of ice heading towards us. Because of this fear and because of the isolation and feeling like a minority, there is such a strong temptation for conservative evangelicals to become ecumenists with those outside of the Christian faith, to embrace conservative Roman Catholics, for instance, as our brothers and sisters. Now, I am one who believes in certain levels of co-belligerence. I believe in working in the public square with those outside of the Christian faith to bring about more biblically faithful laws into our community, elect more biblically faithful politicians into office, and on, and that sometimes involves in the work of social approaches to bringing enlightenment to the community and so forth. You know, I believe in certain circumstances working side by side with Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, Orthodox Jews, even Muslims, and conservative atheists and agnostics. But there's a difference between that and becoming an ecumenist with these folks. And you have an alarming number, percentage of Christians who are more than happy to embrace Mormons as their brothers and sisters, who are conservative, that is, because the Mormon cult is becoming more and more enslaved to leftism themselves. In fact, in my search for a debater in Lancaster, one of the individuals I approached is actually an adjunct professor at Brigham Young University who is a leftist, who's a pro-homosexual. He declined my invitation to debate James White. But don't you agree that we have to really be careful about resisting the temptation to fall into the trap of ecumenism to gospel deniers?
Yeah, especially in our culture when we are feeling that pressure more and more, that we then want to give an inch here and give an inch there, so it's either not going to be, you know, confrontive to us or uncomfortable. So we kind of give in to that. And that is a great temptation for Christians, that, and it's not helped at all that there has been a lack of clarity on the gospel, on what Christianity is, the salvation that's in Christ alone and not by any good thing that you do. And so that has been shallow for many years and growing so. I mean, Machen, he fought this very thing way back in his day and in different contexts and things that were going on in his time. But we've seen just that snowball effect where it's grown more and more and more, and the culture is more and more anti-Christian, and the church, the professing church, those who are unregenerate, especially these big denominations that are, you know, have no gospel and going the opposite direction. They are going along with the culture, looking like the culture, embracing it, and there is no clarity. There's ambiguity all over the place of what they believe, and it's devastating, because then you have a lot of people who have no idea what Christianity is at the bottom level and how to even engage in life from that worldview. So they back away, they give in, they compromise, and little by little it creeps into the church and ransacks it. And that's what we're dealing with a lot with these churches that are in these denominations that are really struggling. There are many churches around here that have 10, 20 people, and they're just trying to barely hang on. There's a lot of other churches that are beautiful churches that are just empty.
Well, we have to go to our first commercial break. If you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Pastor Matt Kenitzer on the theme, The Gospel at War with Moralism, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages, so do not go away.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th through the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Come join us for our sixth Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. Registration is required, and lunch will be provided on Saturday. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with the theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be the keynote speaker. You will not want to miss this engaging event. Go to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Omega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. Any sale of jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener will result in Iron Sharpens Iron Radio receiving 100% of the profits from that sale, valued at $100 or more, as long as one of our listeners mentions that they heard about RoyalDiadem.com from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So whether you are buying a piece of jewelry they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, valued at $100 or more, or whether you're having a custom-designed piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, like taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo, or anything else that your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain, they will take whatever is in your brain and turn it into a mind-blowing piece of physical jewelry, and you can be assured that it will be exactly according to your specifications because you are involved in every single step of the design and creation process. You are going to be using computer software that they provide for you to see with your own eyes, no matter where you live in the world, every single phase of the creation process. So you can say, wait a minute, I love this, but I hate this, or I changed my mind about that, or I just thought of something new, can you add this? And that can go on and on until you like what you see. And then on top of that, for further assurance that the jewelry will be exactly the way you wanted it, you'll receive a wax prototype in the mail that you can view, a three-dimensional wax prototype. And when you approve of that, that is when they make the final piece of jewelry. So please, if you have any intention of buying jewelry or having custom designed jewelry for yourself or someone you love, please go to RoyalDiadem.com soon, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this amazing offer to us where we get 100% of the profits. That's RoyalDiadem.com, RoyalDiadem.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Pastor Matt Kennitzer of St. John's Reformed Church of Friedensburg, Pennsylvania, and board member of the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. We are discussing the gospel at war with moralism, and our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. How do pastors and even Christians as graciously as possible with love as a motivation approach this situation, which is actually a life and death situation that has eternity in the balance. How we approach this issue is not a trivial matter. People may think, oh, somebody is fine and dandy as long as they are opposed to homosexuality and transgenderism and same-sex marriage and abortion. If they're opposed to all of these things, that's just fine with me. Well, that's really not sufficient, as we've been saying. You could be in the mafia and be against all those things, and yet you love to murder people. So tell us how you and what your counsel to others in our approach to this.
Well, for one, we need to be resolved and know that the gospel is offensive and foolish to those who are perishing, and it's in our very nature to feel like we are good, that we have a good nature, a good heart, and can do good things that God would be approved of and appreciate. So we need to know that God's gospel confronts that very thing. And so when we recognize that we are in a society that goes along with the Disney motto, follow your heart, and all the other stuff that we hear, and all the, you know, the you're good by nature, we need to recognize that, recognize it for what it is in the depth of our spiritual condition, and be ready to give that gospel. We're called to serve it up and trust that God will work through it, whether for justice or mercy. And so we need to be resolved to fulfill our calling and serve that gospel to all people. And then from there, we open up the scriptures. If they are professing Christians, then where we need to go to is the standard of God. We need to go to His word. What does He say about this? And to do so not in a self-righteous way, where I'm thinking I'm better than them, but in a humble way, recognizing that I'm a sinner saved by grace, and that we need to go to what God says. We need to submit to His word, even bringing up the issues that we have, and many, you know, moralists would reject a lot of the doctrines of Scripture itself. So going to the Word of God and what the Word of God says, and to try our best to show that we care about these people, to show that we want them to know the Christ that died for them, that we want to help them see what is true. And it's interesting to think about, and I've heard people say this before, with when you're thinking of it from a human perspective, the moralist is one of the hardest persons to see salvation come to, because of that self-righteous nature of their belief system. Now, again, obviously, you know, God can crash down any wall. He can save any sinner when he wants to, in His sovereign grace. But this is a very, very hard context to deal with. And so trying the best that you can to show that you love these people. And that was a massive struggle in where I came into, because I prayed before even looking into this church or any others, that God would bring me to a church that He would use to bring the church to life. I really looked up to men like John MacArthur and Stephen Lawson, and they had similar stories of churches that they walked into that were in a declining and spiritually dead situation in the majority. So walking into that situation, I was praying that God would bring me into a place like that. And so really trying to navigate and show these people that I cared for them, that I cared for their eternal state, and that I was willing to tell them the truth no matter what would happen. And it was a big, it was a struggle, big time. We, you know, my wife and kids, we could have just up and left and went back to Oregon and just tried to pretend like nothing ever happened. But we knew that God had sent us here, that God was sovereign over us bringing us here and putting us into this position. So we were resolved to be faithful no matter what. And there was a lot of pushback, a lot. A lot of people left the church. A good number of the membership left the church angry. I was called a lot of different names. I don't know if you're familiar with Archie Bunker. But it's the
yes, I am. The, I am old enough to know who Archie Bunker is.
America's beloved bigot. Well, I was called that, and a lot of other things were slandered against me, and so it was hard walking through that suffering. But God was so merciful in changing just the complete dynamic of this church. Like, as people were leaving and angry, God was replacing, and then more so through our through going through COVID and all that stuff. So it was an amazing time, but it was really hard. But yet the gospel needed to be brought to bear upon these people, and that was the catalyst that God used.
We have an anonymous listener who has a question for you. Wouldn't it be wise to point out to these moralists that their religion is the religion of the Pharisees, even if they claim Christ, because they are claiming Christ without a gospel? Therefore, the religious aspect of their theological understanding of Christ is rendered null and void, and they are really just modern-day Pharisees.
Yeah, that's actually what happened a number of different times. One of the texts that I constantly went back to, because I would get in conversations with people who had been in this church for years. They grew up in it. They were 80 years old, and they were a pillar of the church, and all a range of people. And I would ask them the very simple question, how do you get into heaven? And again, they would say, be a good person, do good things. And so I brought them to Matthew 5:20 constantly, and Jesus says that if your righteousness does not exceed the Pharisees and the scribes, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so I showed them that human standard, and I highlighted one of the greatest Pharisees during that time, one of the most righteous men, Nicodemus. And I said, if you are you better than him? Because none of us are going to be better than him, better than any of these Pharisees and scribes with this external righteousness that we think that we have in this moralistic religion. And so you're never going to measure up. You're never going to do good enough and be good enough. And so bringing that exact issue that they are modern day Pharisees to bear upon and confront them was one of the many ways that, you know, God either opens them up and is merciful and saves them, or hardens them in his justice. And that was one issue. He's exactly right. That's one issue that that's what can show the hardness of heart and the deception of this moralistic religion that's not Christian at all.
We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who asks, how can we be firm about the necessity of good deeds and good works in the lives of truly born-again people, while at the same time making it extremely clear that these good works and good deeds are merely a fruit and evidence of someone who is truly justified and born again, and not in any way an agent of their regeneration or justification?
Yeah, that's a really, really important question, and very relevant to, I think, a lot of what we're dealing with today in many different ways. I think what it comes down to is that we need to have a very good, clear handle on the law and the gospel, and the uses of the law and the gospel, the relationship between them two. And so when we understand that the two uses of the gospel before salvation are, for one, to restrain sin in a civil sense, in a societal way, and then two, that the law of God is to be a mirror that the sinner is to look into and see their sin for what it truly is. When we understand those two, and those are driving us in an evangelistic nature like Jesus did often, many times, he said, here's what the law says, so go and do this. And that is like so contrary to our modern day evangelism. But Jesus had a great grasp on the law and how it's supposed to empty the sinner and show them the utter impossibility it is to save themselves in any capacity. It's supposed to empty them out, show them their sin, and show them their need for Christ. And so when they're gutted with that law and they have no hope in themselves, then what comes flooding into that void is that beautiful, glorious gospel about Christ and Christ alone, his imputed righteousness that we need. So in that light, when we have despaired in who we are by nature, being brought down to the ground in utter mourning over our sin, then God brings us up. When he saves a sinner, he brings us up to see that advocate that stood in our place and did everything for us that we could never do. And so when that void is brought, when that void is created by the law, the gospel comes rushing into that. And then from that new life, from the very beginning of that new life, then we have a whole new life that is living and walking according to God's law. And that's the third use of the law, the path, the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's that obedience to Christ that is not burdened by the law anymore. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. All of that, being conformed to the image of Christ. That life of sanctification, now you are wanting to obey. Now you're living according to his law. And you know that where you came from in your salvation, when it was not dependent upon you in anything, you had nothing. You were vile. You were wretched. You were no good. You were worthless. You had nothing to give him. Now you're living in that new life. And you're looking back, living on the gospel in that new life, and now you want to obey the law of God. Now you want to do all of those things that that glorify him in that obedience of faith. And so I really think the Christian church needs to have a clear, good grasp on the law, the gospel, the differences, the uses, and their relationship with each other.
Yes, if you are a moralist, you may be, and I'm not broad brushing here, we have to make sure not to slander those even who are outside of biblical Christianity, because bearing false witness against your neighbor is just as sinful if you slander a non-Christian than if you slander a Christian. It's just it's the same sin. But you may be more prone, though, however, if you're devoid of the Holy Spirit and you're basing your understanding of who is right with God and who is entering heaven on the base of morality alone, you're going to be more prone to be hateful towards those that disagree with you. Prime example, you have Westboro Baptist Church. The God hates fags folks. I do not have confidence that those people are regenerate. I do not believe that I will see them in heaven. They are thrilled that homosexuals are going to hell. They offer them no gospel when they demonstrate publicly. Their faces are typically beaming with exuberant joy when they tell homosexuals that they are going to hell. This is a real danger because, well, on the one hand, we are to despise the sin of those who are rebelling against Christ. But at the same time, we must always remember, especially we who are theologically reformed, that you may be speaking to somebody who is a member of God's elect, but they just have not yet been regenerate by the grace of God. Am I right? Don't we have to remind ourselves of that?
Yeah, I think so. And you bring up a good dynamic, is that we, you know, when you look at those situations like the Westboro Baptist and stuff, where they don't have the gospel along with, you know, what they're saying.
And unfortunately, they claim to be Calvinists. They are adherents to the, well, they claim to be adherents to the 1689 London Baptist Confession.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's a complete contradiction. And so when you're, yeah, when you're up against moralism and those who are unfortunately within that belief system and driven by it, then you tell them the truth. You tell them their condition. You even say things like, if you continue in your sin, you will be in hell. You know, that is true. But along with that, and the big if is key, that when you give the person the gospel, then you are giving them what they need. You're giving them that life-giving message that God works through by the Spirit to bring them to life, to show them who they are and who Christ is. But an often objection or war against somebody who's presenting the true gospel to them is when you tell them the truth about their condition and their nature and where they're headed, they often say, well, you're playing God. You're judging me. You're playing God. How dare you tell me I'm going to hell? Well, if I give you the gospel and I'm truthful and say, if you continue in your condition, this is where you're going, but here's the gospel. Here's what you need. You're not playing God at all.
In fact, can you pick up right where you left off? We have to go to our midway break.
Sure.
And don't forget about the accusation that you're playing God. Folks, this is the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires us of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio geographically to Lake City, Florida, where they're located. And they do so with their own public service announcements and other local things that they air while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information, the contact information, as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. We depend on the finances from our advertisers to exist. So please contact our advertisers, either buy their products, use their services, visit their churches, or when you can't do any of that, please at least thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And also send in your questions to Matt Kennitzer on our theme today, The Gospel at War with Moralism, to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War. September 15th through the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Come join us for our 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. Registration is required, and lunch will be provided on Saturday. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with the theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be the keynote speaker. You will not want to miss this engaging event. Go to futureofchristendom.org.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please never forget, folks, to always make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. They bring back into print and also publish for the very first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who, as you've been hearing, is the keynote speaker at the Future of Christendom Conference hosted by Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society September 15th and 16th with a worship service on the 17th. So please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, always mention that you heard about them from Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Matt Kennitzer, pastor of St. John's Reformed Church of Friedensburg, Pennsylvania, and board member of the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society on our theme, The Gospel at War with Moralism, I just have some important announcements to make. Folks, if you really love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical address, a physical check to a physical address the old-fashioned way from your local post office, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise, as our dear friends at the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society have just done with their signed contract for an annual sponsorship of this program, you've just heard their ads begin today promoting the upcoming Future of Christendom Conference. Well, if you want to join them as being a part of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers, please send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or perhaps it's just a special event that you want to promote. As long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are for your donations. The donations to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio plummeted to an all-time low right after the insane mandates began from our federal and local governments. And I'm assuming that many livelihoods were either seriously damaged or destroyed of listeners in our audience, because the giving plummeted and never bounced back after the COVID hysteria. So please, if you love this show, we need your help more than ever. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing, Christ-honoring church, a biblically faithful church that's doctrinally sound, theologically solid, well, I'm urging you to send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches such as Independence Reformed Bible Church in Morgantown, Pennsylvania, and churches all over the planet Earth. And I've helped many people in our audience in all parts of the world, Africa, Australia, the UK, and Germany. I could go on and on, where we have received emails requesting church recommendations all over the world. And I have helped people find churches, sometimes even within just a few minutes from where they live. And that may be you too. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Matt Kennitzer of St. John's Reformed Church of Friedensburg and board member of the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society on our theme, "The Gospel at War with Moralism." chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Before I go to any listener questions, please, Pastor Matt, pick up where you left off before the break.
Yeah, so we were talking about the objection where, and this really comes very easy with someone who is in the moralistic belief system, that if you present the gospel and you're truthful about the reality of hell, and how all sinners are headed to hell, but if they turn to Christ by way of the gospel presented to them on God's terms, then they come to everlasting life. But when people hear the reality of hell, the condition of where we all are headed without Christ, many times people come back and say, "Well, you're just playing God. You're trying to play God. You're judging me." And that is, again, something very easy that comes from the moralistic mindset. But if you, Jonathan Edwards hung unbelievers over the precipice of hell and told them if they didn't turn to Christ, then they'd be in hell. And so was he playing God? No, he wasn't. He was telling them the truth and giving them the gospel that they need. And so when the gospel is not there, then there may be a person who, yes, is trying to judge and has very impure motives and anything like that. But when you bring the gospel right in after telling the truth about where sinners are headed, you're giving them what they need. You're not playing God at all. You're loving that person. You're giving them the greatest thing that they need, and that is the depth of true love from human to human. So that is a very easy objection that people could get into, and I've heard it a lot being in the context that I walked into. When you tell somebody that, you know, their true nature according to the Bible, and they come back and say, "How dare you tell me I'm a bad person?" That is a fruit of the moralistic mindset. And another one is you're trying to play God, but you're not if you're bringing that gospel to bear upon their heart and mind.
Okay, we have another listener question. BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania. BB wants to know, how much negative feedback do you receive from professing conservative evangelicals for your strong approach to these social and moral issues that they may be too frightened to confront?
A pretty considerable amount, I think. When you get into, you know, I think it's easy, especially through the COVID, that we've kind of retreated even more as a church and saying, you know, it's not our duty to speak into these cultural and societal issues. But when you're faithful to the scriptures, you got to go the opposite direction. You got to go into them and speak into them. Because the Bible, God says, has everything to say about all of life. But yet there's this push that either for one says, and goes along with the idea, the redefinition of separation of church and state. Oh, it's not our job to speak into those things. We need separation of church and state. We need to obey that. So there's giving into that mindset, and there's, you know, others where it's, you know, it's not something that's comfortable for us. We want ease. We want comfort. We don't want to be confronted. We don't like pressure. So we can easily kind of go with the mindset of the Jews in Jesus's day, that they were fearful of the Jews. So they didn't speak up. They didn't stand up for what was true. They didn't have a public witness because they were fearful of getting kicked out of the synagogue, which really meant during that time that you were societally marked. You're an outcast. You're basically, your life was over in a societal way. So we don't, by nature, we don't like that. So we back away. We are silent. We don't feel like we can confront. And there's just another issue that the church, the professing church, has given into and compromised with the influence of the world, saying you need to be quiet about these cultural issues. But we need to have a burden for lost souls. We need to speak into all of these cultural issues with the Word of God. That's the standard that we measure everything by. So that needs to grow, and that is a great combatant to the moralistic mindset and worldview.
Now, that questioner was actually asking about conservatives who were responding negatively to the work of Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. What about the leftists? I'm almost certain I can remember Pastor Joel Saint saying that there were some outrageously slanderous, libelous things hurled out against Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society from the far left. Isn't that the case as well?
Yeah, that's what I've heard from Joel, that's happened a number of times where they've had some major opposition to what they're doing and what they're speaking against from the left, where they've tried to stop events and do things like that. So they've been up against that quite a bit, because that's the very nature of the organization, is to bring the truth of God to bear upon all of life, all of culture. And so the left is definitely going to raise a fuss about that, for sure.
Okay, we have Seth in Hummelstown, Pennsylvania. Greetings, Pastor Matt. Does the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society offer any resources that can assist pastors struggling to get their congregation to be less complacent and more involved with the cultural battle going on around us?
Yeah, so we have YouTube videos on the channel. We have the Think and Reform podcast that Luke Saint does quite often now. He's getting back into that. And we're really trying to build that resource library for people. So if if people aren't, people are always welcome to email us, get in touch with us, and ask those types of questions of what resources we have that can help with the various issues that they're dealing with. And that was one of the beginning motives for beginning the Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society, that they wanted to come alongside pastors to help them deal with the complacency, deal with the pietism, deal with the things that were happening, so that they can help churches and pastors especially equip them with how to speak into the issues in all of culture, taxation, welfare, abortion, homosexuality, and everything else, government schools and all of that. So we are kind of at the beginning stages, I guess, of building that deliberate resource center for people. But people are always welcome to email us, reach out to us. And these conferences over the past years have done a very good job addressing a lot of these issues. So they can always go back on the YouTube and go look at past conferences and other videos that we speak into issues like that. So
we have an anonymous listener who says, I am in the middle of a heated battle between people that I love dearly over the issue of the church's involvement in political and social issues. And both sides of the equation are very conservative and also reformed churches and pastors. And the issue is, on the one side, you have the conservative reformed pastors and churches that believe that the gospel is the only focus of the church, in addition to demonstrating love to those not only in the congregation but in the community with the meeting of physical needs. And the other political and social issues may be approached by individual Christians, but it is not a church responsibility as an institution. The other side is saying that the pastors and the churches are to be in the forefront of the battle on these political and social issues, in the trenches and on the front lines. How do we convince those that seem to be in disagreement with you that the gospel is to be our only focus, and the mixture of activity with the political and social issues seems to be, in their opinion, bordering on actual heresy?
Yeah, that's a hard tension to deal with.
Yeah,
I think,
in fact, I even have heroes that are on the opposite side of that.
Yep.
I don't know how much Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, where Pastor John MacArthur is the pastor. He is one of my modern day heroes who I've had on this program, who's written a wonderful endorsement for this show. He seems to have changed with the mandates that were seeking to disrupt church life at Grace Community Church. I don't know how widespread that disagreement with the government has changed other views in general about their approach. But I would never call people a heretic for disagreement over this. But I'm sorry for interrupting you, but comment on that, please.
No, yeah, I would agree. I wouldn't call anybody a heretic over this either. I think that's something that will damage the church quite a bit, and we don't need that. So, but how can the gospel cannot be proclaimed in a void, in a vacuum? It's always attached to life somehow. It speaks to the issue of the sinner, and the sinner sins, and sin is lawlessness before God. So the gospel, I mean, I've heard, I believe Matt Truel has said this, and you've had him on the program before. He, maybe somebody else, I can't remember, but you go to any, church dinner, they're having fellowship, you know, enjoying time together. And Then you look at the mantra, oh, just preach the gospel. Just preach the gospel. Well, but the value in fellowship is amazing in the Christian life. So you can't just pit one against the other. And especially with the gospel going into all of society, what better context to preach the gospel than what we're dealing with today? We go to the abortion clinic, abortion mill, try to go weekly. And that is an amazing place to preach the gospel. And I've heard objections directly to me. Why do that? Why just not go preach the gospel? And I'm thinking to myself, what better place to go preach the gospel than that? That brings it to bear upon the literal life that people are living and dealing with at the very death camp, the very place that's happening. So you can't preach the gospel in a void. I think it is the church's responsibility collectively to be the prophetic voice of the world, to be the conscience of the state. And that's made up of believers that individually need to do it. Matt, first Timothy 1, about 8 through 10-ish, 11, it does give that relation that the law is in relation in accordance with the glorious, blessed gospel of our God. So they go hand in hand. We need to deal with society and do it rightfully and according to the standard of God and use that gospel to bring light to the situation that sinners are in. So I don't agree with the concept of it's not the church's role. I believe it is. And if the church isn't going to speak to these issues, then who is? And then if the church isn't supposed to do it, then what is that telling the church, the people in the church? You know, that's giving them an out for the call that God has given them, both individually and collectively as the church.
And how do we stop churches from disfellowshipping each other over these things? Any counsel on that? Because it does happen.
Yeah, it does. It's an unfortunate one. It's really difficult. I think clarity. We need a lot more clarity on a lot of issues. Issues of when repentance is truly needed, when it's a matter of conscience and is left to the person, or when it's not. Those are really difficult issues, and I think we need to. I mean, throughout church history, the church has had unfortunate stains where I can't remember the name of the Anabaptist who got thrown in a hole. And you remember his name? James White talks about
it. Yeah, I did remember it until you just asked me. I'm 61 and the memory's going out the window.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either. But he got thrown in the well because he wasn't going to baptize his child.
Yeah, not in a well, in a hole in a dungeon in the church building.
Yeah, and he ended up dying there. And that's an unfortunate thing that shouldn't happen. We need to know where the line is drawn, and I think we unfortunately draw the line in the wrong places. We need to know the difference between when to work with somebody, when to not, when to have the fellowship, and when it's okay to say, yeah, okay, you believe this, I believe this, and we are still brothers or sisters in Christ. And we're not going to divide over it, yet you can do your own thing in that area. But this is a really important issue, I think, that of our witness in society itself. more than, I think it's still more than 60% of Americans still say that they're Christian, yet our nation looks the way it is. That doesn't make any sense. And it really hits this issue of where are we spiritually and what is our concept of our role in this world? We are to bring the gospel to bear upon the world, the law of God to bear upon the world, both of them. We are to be salt and light in the world. So it's a hard issue, but we need to deal with it with love and clarity.
We have another anonymous listener who wants to know, would you ever counsel somebody to leave a church who does not agree with you on the church's official participation in the political arena?
I would, for that person in that situation, I would do everything that you could to talk to the leadership, talk to the pastor, bring your case to them with a calmness and openness, with love in Christ, and to show them how important it is. And if they're not hearing, if they're set in whatever system that brings them to believe that they're not supposed to do that, and you've tried and it's really just getting in the way, and you feel like you really are not growing there, not really a part of that body, you need to be all in. We need to be all in with the fellowship that we have in churches. And so if it gets to that point, then I say, yeah, you need to try to find a church that you really can feel like you are used, you are being a part of, and you can grow, and that you believe is faithful to the whole counsel of God.
And I think you would probably agree with me that an essential element of this on whether or not to leave is if the church actually forbid you as an individual from being involved this way. My personal thoughts on this is that depending upon how prevalent Reformed churches are in your area or biblically faithful churches, I wouldn't necessarily say a person should leave that church as long as they had the freedom to be as much involved in those political and social things as their hearts and time allowed them to.
Yeah, you make a good point, and I would completely agree. I know people who don't agree on these views that you brought up within their church, but yet they are free to engage in them, and they have some support from the leadership and the pastor and the church, and so they're able to stay there. And I think if that is the case, then you should try to stay there as long as you can, and do, and it shows that unity. It shows that that has deep roots in the union that we have in Christ and with each other, and that is the main thing. And then have the freedom to be able to engage in these things and have disagreements even in those situations. So if that is a possibility, yeah, you ought to stick it out as long as you can, for sure.
Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania wants to know, can you list things that you believe are required of a church to do in the arena of political and social involvement?
Engage in, so there's the difference between, because a lot of times when you start talking about this issue and start talking specifics on what people should be doing, you can get people coming back and saying, well, you want a church-run state, which they confuse that with they confuse theocracy with a ecclesiocracy. It's not an ecclesiocracy, so we're not advocating for a church-run state in many situations. So with that, the church is to be involved in formulating whether it's safe haven for abortion, you know, and combating abortion in your state, and writing up a resolution that you present to those in the jurisdiction of the political arena in your county or in your state to try to keep abortion from happening in your county. Being involved in those things, being involved in mill ministry, going to the very mill to protest what is happening and to stay the hand to stop mothers and fathers from going in there and killing their child, all the while with the gospel running through all of that. Going to school board meetings and being either just a presence to hear what's going on in your community, or taking the opportunity to speak up when you have critical race theory coming into your school and you raise an objection to it, whatever it may be. If you have a pride fest going on in your community, you send letters and emails to those who are in governance, you know, county commissioners or whoever it may be, the board who's allowing that to happen in the county. You go there, you engage in these story times in libraries to combat all of that. There's so much that we need to be engaged in, and there's a lot of different situations. I mean, even, you know, it goes to what God told his people when they were going to go to exile in Babylon to live there for 70 years. He said, build your homes, have families, eat the produce of your gardens, and seek the welfare of your city. So we need to live those lives that glorify God. We need to establish the home, establish the family, have, you know, be fruitful and multiply, have kids. When the world is telling you there's too many people and it's overpopulated and we need to bring 7.5 billion down to 1 billion, you say that is ridiculous. God commands you to have children, and so you obeying God's commands is not going to destroy the world. So have families and start homeschools or Christian schools, educate them from the home, realize that what these government schools are doing. So there's a lot of specifics that I would say, but I would go to text, and I've done this with Proverbs 24:10-12. Go to that text and say, okay, where is the exact place that these people are actively going into death or being led to the slaughter? Where is that place? And then think in your society and engage in those places and work that way out to, you know, so the mill, that's the place that that's happening. Then legislatively, you deal with that same thing. And then you go to pregnancy centers. That's an area to help that, though it's not so direct. So bring the text to life and ask specific question. Where does that happen in my life?
We're going to our final break right now. If you have any intention to send in a question, we would ask that you do it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us a first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
The Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society presents The Future of Christendom 2023, The Gospel at War, September 15th through the 16th in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Featuring Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Come join us for our 6th Future of Christendom Conference. The event will take place at Spooky Nook Sports in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, and will run from Friday evening through all day Saturday, with an invitation to the Sunday morning worship service of the Independence Reformed Bible Church. Registration is required, and lunch will be provided on Saturday. This will be a weekend packed with practical teaching, with the theme of the gospel at war in many areas of our culture, including government schools, the Supreme Court, missions, feminism, and even the church pulpits. Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries will be the keynote speaker. You will not want to miss this engaging event. Go to futureofchristendom.org.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnzen, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com.
This is Brian McLaughlin of the Securecom Group, joining Chris Onzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn.
Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please remember, folks, the new website for Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey is gcbc-nj.org. gcbc-nj.org. All of the other information in that commercial you just heard is accurate, with the exception of the website. So use the new website, gcbc-nj.org. I also want to remind our listeners that you've been hearing ads for the Historical Bible Society every day in this show. Don't forget that the founder of the Historical Bible Society is Daniel P. Buttafuoco. Attorney at law, he is a serious injury and medical malpractice attorney. So if you are the victim of a serious accident or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, all 50 states, contact Dan at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or at 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. If you could, Pastor Matt, summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today when it comes to the gospel at war with moralism.
We need to put no confidence in the flesh. We need to look away from ourselves, away from any goodness that we have, may think we have inside of us or may come out of us. We need to look away from ourselves, understand what the Bible says about who we are in our natural condition. When we have a good understanding of that biblically, then we'll see the glory of Christ shining so much more brightly, and His righteousness being just the amazing imputed righteousness that we need that comes from outside of us. And so we see Christ for who He truly is. And with a topic like this, moralism, I think when we understand those two concepts, we can just be in awe of God's grace. It's grace alone. It's His unmerited favor upon us, and it's His power within us to do what He's called us to do, and that's to come to Christ and live a life glorifying to Him. So it helps us to see Christ for who He truly, truly is, and we desperately need that in our society today.
Amen. Well, I want to remind our listeners about some important contact information. First of all, if you are visiting Friedensburg, Pennsylvania, or if you live in or near there, or if you have family, friends, and loved ones who live in or near there, please pay a visit to the website of St. John's Reformed Church of Friedensburg, Pennsylvania at sjrcpa.org, sjrcpa.org. If you want to find out more information about the upcoming conference, Future of Christendom Conference, on the theme of the Gospel at War, which is going to be held at the Spooky Nook Sports and Events in Manheim, Pennsylvania, in Lancaster County. Go to futureofchristendom.org, futureofchristendom.org, and you can also find out more about the hosting ministry of that event, which is MidAtlanticReformation.org, MidAtlanticReformation.org. And I just heard word during this live program that the potential debate candidate opposing Dr. James R. White at the conference that we are arranging has agreed to participate with one minor detail that we have to have confirmed by Mid-Atlantic Reformation Society. So we hope to be telling you more 100% confirmed information tomorrow, and I will do that if we indeed have the green light. I want to thank my guest, Pastor Matt Kennitzer, for being such a wonderful guest today. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.